Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD, brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Frederick's Faith Debate is an open, honest forum for our local faith community leaders to get together and talk about things that we think might not only be of interest to you, but are critically important for you to think about. We'll see if we can live up to that in this week's show. On the panel, one last time for this go-around, anyway. We have a tendency, as you know, to do series on this show, where we'll have the same panel together for anywhere from 4 to 6 sessions, so that we have a chance to really get into the nitty-gritty on some things. This show is a short show. It's only 27 minutes or so long, and just when you're finally building up ahead of steam, it's time to wrap up the show, and that gets frustrating. So we have a chance for everybody to speak their mind and just vent. And after you do 4 to 6 shows, you feel like you've had an opportunity to say what you wanted to say. Sometimes you regret that you said what you had an opportunity to say, but you had an opportunity to say it nonetheless. So anyway, on the panel this week, Bernie Beal, founder of Great Commission Families, and Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. As we get ready for the holidays, Thanksgiving staring us in the face, and we were talking just before the show about something that's kind of interesting and unique on the American cultural landscape. I mean, Christmas is a big deal, and everybody kind of celebrates Christmas in a modern marketing sense. Everybody watches the Charlie Brown specials and goes out and buys lots of things.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, waves a flag on Independence Day. But Thanksgiving is a religious celebration that all Americans truly do celebrate. I don't know, maybe there's some that I don't know, but there's not a single group of people that I know that doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving. Part of it might be that they don't realize it's a religious celebration. It's Thanksgiving. To whom are we giving thanks and why?
Yeah, and in fact, the more that I think about it, Washington, Lincoln, many of the presidents down through the generations have put out official proclamations thanking God for his blessing, you know, year in and year out. That's been something that that has been a significant part of our nation's history, that that the leaders of the nation have participated in a pretty abundant manner in this particular holiday.
So what's the over-under? How many more years before they outlaw Thanksgiving? How could the government recognize such a holiday?
It's interesting. Christmas clearly is Christ Mass. You know, it's related towards Christmas. So they're already trying to outlaw it in the schools by saying, you know, that it's just the winter holiday, you know, and then you've got the spring holiday because Easter, you know, and the Christ rising from the dead, you know, is clearly a religious holiday, you know, and so they call it the spring holiday. But Thanksgiving, you know, you could just say Thanksgiving without saying God.
Plausible deniability.
You know, you can get away with it. And so maybe they'll just always let it be. And because it's, you know, not overtly, even though we all know that we're supposed to be giving thanks to God.
So well, we don't all know. See, that's the thing. There is plausible deniability. And I know you guys probably as well as I have heard stories here and there where, you know, they're teaching Thanksgiving in a school or there's an article about it or whatever. And, oh, yeah, the first Thanksgiving, that's when the pilgrims thanked the Indians.
Because it seems
to be.
Is that true?
No.
Oh.
They were grateful to the Indians. But
no, is that true? Our kids are being taught that?
Yes.
Some are.
Very often. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That's the plausible deniability.
Oh, man.
So there you have it. See, they've already removed the religious angle, the God angle.
I don't want to do the show anymore.
You're ungrateful now?
I don't. Wow.
Yeah.
How could they lie? Huh? Next thing you're going to tell me is they're going to be teaching our kids that we, you know, evolved from apes, as though it were the truth.
Go with it, man. What else are they going to teach?
They're going to lie to us about this stuff?
They're going to tell us that our founding fathers were just a bunch of meanies, you know, because they all owned slaves and such.
Wow.
There's all kinds of things
I had no idea.
Yes.
Well, do you have anything that you do in your church or in your family to drive home the point that this is a godly celebration.
Yes, we eat as much turkey and stuffing and gravy.
Well, then you're just as guilty as anybody
else. Pumpkin pie as everybody
else. Plausible deniability.
No, you're eating food. You're thanking God. No, okay, really. What's your question again?
What do you do that's spiritual on Thanksgiving? Is that your question?
Yeah, do you do anything? Well, we watch football. That's pretty spiritual.
Well, when we get together with my extended family, we'll go around and we'll say, you know, what is one thing in the past year that we really thank God for? And we'll all go around, you know, and it could be, you know, a financial thing. It could be a health-related thing. It could be, you know, any number of things, you know, that just kind of hits the highlight of the year. And, you know, we'll genuinely put it in the context of, you know, thanking God for it. So I guess that's one thing that we do.
And you mentioned extended family, kind of the opposite of plausible deniability might be spiritual opportunity. And on my mother's side of the family,
that's almost the same number of syllables.
Yeah.
You're really good at that.
Crossword.
Yeah.
There's a song lyric in that.
There is. Yeah. There is.
My mother's side of the family, you know, good, really good, hardworking people here in Frederick County, and but don't often go to church, so not against it. Just, you know, it's not really a central part of their lives. But since I can remember, when we were little, we would have Thanksgiving at grandmother's house and granddad's house, my mother's side of the family, and since I can remember. In my growing up years, we would all gather around the table. That it would be like 20 or 25 people, and there'd be this moment where everything's ready, all the food's there, then it gets quiet, and everybody would look to my dad, who married into this family, and then my dad would pray, and he's praying with folks that don't normally pray before the meal. I perceive, I really don't know, but I perceive. Well, my dad passed away a little over 10 years ago.
Uh-oh.
About a month and a half before Thanksgiving.
Uh-oh.
And so we're all gathering.
Pressure.
No. Here it goes.
Yep. It was precious is what it was.
Oh, they did it again.
Yeah. This guy's amazing.
Because we're all gathered around the table. You know, we've had the funeral for my dad 6 or 7 weeks earlier. And it's that moment where everything gets quiet. And then everybody looked at me because I'm like representing my dad.
That's
now.
Precious.
Thank you. And I said, "Let's pray." You
know, yeah.
And
yeah.
And as I'm praying, yeah, I hear my father's voice.
Yeah.
And the earthly thing I am most grateful for is indeed Christian parents that loved me and discipled me and pointed me to the Jesus.
Yeah. So it used to be in the Schweitzer family with my dad's brothers and sisters that we would gather at Christmas up in Harrisburg and at one of my uncle's houses. It was actually his church, and we would have a big Christmas celebration. And so the whole family would be there together, and all my cousins and all my aunts and uncles on that side, you know, and that would be our Christmas time. And so that was, you know, you're talking about, you know, the whole family coming together, because we couldn't get together also at Christmas because we had people way up in New York and people down in Florida and different places. So, you know, once a year we wanted to have a get together. And so we did it at Thanksgiving, and we don't do that anymore, but, you know, just in terms of thinking back on things that used to be ritual, and it was always a very godly thing. You know, before, when I'm saying, you know, well, come on, I'm eating turkey and everything, you know, honestly, it's just in my mind, in my background, all of that was so related to God and thanking God, you know, that when we came together, there's such a strong God orientation that I almost feel like it's religious, you know, to eat the turkey and to, you know, and to have the stuffing, you know, like it just, That's my particular background, yeah.
You know, it's, and seriously, you know, for a moment on this whole, you know, precious pressure thing, it is maybe the one time or one of two times a year that people are going to look to the head of the house, you know, usually the eldest male who lives in that house. Now, in this particular case, you're talking about in your family, Bernie, about the them deferring to the outsider who married in. But usually that's the pressure falls on the person whose home it is. And everybody would look to that person. And then they get a little dry in the throat and the color drains from their face. And they,
You know, even the fact that Thanksgiving is a family event, you know, that you think about getting together with family, you know, smacks of doing things according to God's order, you know, that you all look to the head of the home. Why do you look to the head of the home? Because the reason you're together with that particular group is that you're a family. And so, you know, there's a natural deferring to whoever's the eldest part of the family that happens to be there, who's the patriarch or the matriarch of the family, kind of a thing. And, you know, so there's kind of a natural religious or biblical orientation, you know, that fits into Thanksgiving. I guess depending on your background, I mean, I guess it's very likely that there's those that haven't grown up with that.
So let's take some pressure off.
Okay.
All right, somebody's listening right now who has to give a prayer on Thursday, and they're not.
What, we're going to tell them what to pray and how to pray?
You know, what are some basic guidelines? Is there such a thing as too short? Is there such a thing as too long? Are there things you shouldn't really pray in the meal prayer? Should you just thank God for the meal and the and you know,
Thanksgiving prayer 101? Is that what this is?
Rub a dub dub. Thank God for the grub. Is that an appropriate prayer at Thanksgiving? You know, what are some basic guidelines?
If it's sincere, sure, why not? We'll take it. Come on, you can thank God for everything. You pray, you open up, say, "Dear Lord, thank you for Mom." And Daddy and Uncle Joe,
like a child,
Aunt Mary, yeah. I mean,
yeah. It's relationships is the greatest thing to be grateful for, and ultimately, relationship with God Himself.
Amen. Yeah.
Thanksgiving is often thought of as thank you for the stuff we've got, but really, it's relationships. You know, on September 12th, 2001, at George Washington University, we had an event planned. It was going to be an open forum, a focus group open forum on relationships. I mean, that was how it was billed ahead of time. And then the day before, September 11th, 2001 happened. And what we were thinking of on the topic of relationships was male-female relationships, you know, guy-girl relationships, you know, romantic
That's
relationships.
That's very interesting. I just read an article today that said that that there's major dissatisfaction out there in the current college hookup culture, and nobody, there's no sense of sexual ethics any longer, because relationships so often in the college environment are defined by these one-night stands, you know, that people are very dissatisfied with it, and there's starting to be something of a backlash to it.
That's interesting. But we changed our subject from romantic relationships of September 11th.
Yeah.
You remember back then, and you'd hear these reports about the last cell phone calls.
Yeah.
So it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But it was always, what are the relationships that are most important? What's family? You know, you didn't call your broker and say, "Boy, I hope the stock's going," you know.
I called all of my brothers that day.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So I remember that very specifically.
I felt this need to connect with those guys.
So Thanksgiving, that's the thing to be really grateful for, relationships.
And you think about it, not just is it the one or two times a year, you know, one of one or two times a year when a prayer gets said before the meal, but it might be one of one or two times a year when the family gets together to eat.
Exactly, right.
In today's society, you know. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been the one who's been turned to give the prayer, and you know, there's some unbelievers, maybe, or nominal Christians in the room, and you get one of these? You go,
do we have to pray? You mean while you're praying?
Yeah. Is he done already? Are you one of those?
Yeah.
A little distracting.
Yeah, we used to get that from one of our relatives, and yeah, interesting. You know, you just kind of, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to pray for him while you're doing it, Lord, and pray for Uncle
and we
so-and-so
pray for patience
for those that don't like the prayer.
you got to be careful. Prayer is not a sermon.
Amen. Amen. It's not a time to take a shot.
That is true.
That would be a definite principle about prayer 101, Thanksgiving prayer 101. Do not take a shot at any of your
not a sermon.
Yes, relatives.
Yeah, that's how, actually, I think
you can take a shot at, you know, like political figures in a prayer like that.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. That's not really true.
Only in the Schweitzer household.
That's right, depending on what house that you're in.
You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD, with Bernie Beal, founder of Great Commission Families, Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner, and this is 930 WFMD. not just Thanksgiving, but there's something else that popped into my mind that it's almost shocking that we still have it in our society today, and that is National Days of Prayer.
Right.
So, how is it that we can have a National Day of Prayer, a National Day of Thanksgiving that everybody celebrates together with their family, have a Christmas tree on the front lawn of the White House and all that, and then still have these claims that we really aren't a religious society and our government shouldn't have anything to do with religion? It does strike me as kind of an odd, it's an oxymoron kind of a thing. Mm. So do you think that those things will eventually go away? God was kicked out of school. I mean, I kind of joked about it before. What's the over-under on before they think? But do you think that it's possible? Sure, anything's possible. Do you think it's probable that in our lifetimes, our government would cease to recognize a day of Thanksgiving, would cease to have, you know, public days of prayer, there would no longer be a Tannenbaum on the White House lawn? Do you think that's a probability?
Well, look to Europe.
I don't know.
Comment on that the other time.
Yeah, I mean, is it not there in Europe anymore? I don't know. Europe still has Christmas, right? They celebrate Christmas in Europe? I don't know the answer to that.
It's more of a post-Christian culture than even we are.
Like a winter break or something? I don't know. It's interesting. I have a hard time, I guess, getting my head around not having that anymore. Like, even, you know, this past election, there was so much religion in it, you know, that us not actually having some kind of a, you know, National Day of Prayer. I mean, at this point, even the National Day of Prayer, you know, there's a major push that you keep Jesus out of it, you know, and those kinds of things. You already get those kinds of an orientation, you know, or the prayer breakfasts, you know, at the White House. You know, you get a lot of non-sectarian prayers, you know, and a little bit of frustration if you do pray in the name of Jesus. You know, that even happened here. There's a gathering of Republicans, and somebody got up and prayed in the name of Jesus. And, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, kind of a murmur, like, well, you shouldn't have done that, you know.
You're talking about last year, year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, well, I was the one that prayed.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about when Paul Smith prayed.
No.
There was a big hubbub about that.
Sure.
Because he prayed in the name of Jesus.
Sure. Where was that? I hadn't heard about that.
Some city function or something. They needed to have a prayer done before the gathering or whatever, and they selected him, or was his turn, or I'm not sure.
Sure.
I can't remember the details now. It was a while ago. But he prayed, and he ended it in Jesus' name.
Interesting.
And
they got all upset.
Quite the hubbub. Yeah, you can pray all you want, just not in Jesus' name.
Exactly. So we already have, you know, a limitation, pretty
severe. The real problem is the way Christian, I mean, we've talked about it with Thanksgiving already, about, you know, it could be thanks for anything. And the way Christmas is celebrated anymore, it's not really a Christian holiday. You know, it's become a secular holiday.
Yeah.
You know, what does a turkey or a football game or colored lights or an evergreen tree, for that matter?
Football is very religious.
What does any of that have to do with God and Jesus?
Is not religious.
You know, I mean, we've totally...
come on, God's a coach. Holy Spirit is the defense.
Jonathan and I have talked about this before. I can't remember if we've done it on the show. I think we have done it on the show several times.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've heard that show, Bernie. But sometimes I begin to wonder if the most Christian thing we could do would be to stop celebrating Christmas.
Well, there are Christians who believe that. Well, I think the
Puritans
actually believe
that, right?
the people who came here from Europe really believe that. Yeah, I can't remember if it was the Puritans or the Pilgrims or both, whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
Are you a Puritan? Are you a neo-Puritan?
You know, I think I might be. I've been accused of that, actually.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was accused, believe it or not, in high school.
Because you don't think we should celebrate Easter on the spring equinox either, because it's too pagan.
And I don't think we should call it Easter.
You think we should call it Resurrection Day?
Resurrection Sunday, absolutely.
Yeah, my Orthodox friend always reminds me that we celebrated on the pagan day instead of the original day.
If somebody could show me any English translation of the Bible that has the word Easter in it, I might change my mind.
That'd be pretty unique.
You know, I'm too puritanical. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm just noting that this is a particular puritanical element of your background.
All right.
Of your choices, yes.
Let's change the subject.
Okay.
We've got about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. And if you've listened to the first few shows in this series with this panel, then you know that Bernie is an expert
okay.
on things of history in this part of the country. And he made mention of something off the air that he hasn't had a chance to share on the air. But he you know, we talk about a lot about Francis Scott Key in this mm-hmm. area. There's a mall named after him.
There's a baseball team. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So
who is this guy?
Well, the baseball team is named after the mall, I believe.
Okay.
yeah, and we have keys all over the city
that
come from the same idea.
Yeah, that get stolen.
Oh, that was an art project last year. We went around to those keys and had some gospel flyers giving Francis Scott Key's testimony.
Yeah, that was the point. What is the Francis Scott Key testimony?
Oh, what is his testimony? Okay. Well, he was born in Frederick County, over outside of Keysville in Terra Rubra. And if you know your Frederick County map, you would say to yourself, Keysville's not in Frederick County. Well, it was when he was born. Carroll County was later created out of Baltimore County and Frederick County. They took part of each and made Carroll County.
Same thing with Montgomery County. Montgomery County didn't used to be there. Frederick County used to go all the way down to
D.C. Keysville named after the Keys family?
Yes. Okay. So not Francis Scott Key in particular, but okay. he grew up in a place there called Terra Rubra. And became a lawyer, was a lawyer in Georgetown.
That's right, I still like him.
Yeah, and he was a unique lawyer.
By the way, any lawyer listening, that was a joke.
yes. Not like you don't get those all the time anyways, but, you know, that's just another one.
He was a Bible teacher as well. Think how times have changed. There was a guy elected to Congress from Virginia who was known as... he was against Christians. He didn't like Christians. He was a wealthy man, so he got elected to Congress. And some of the other congressmen felt, we should witness to this guy. We should help him, you know, think about becoming a Christian himself rather than being negative and angry. Think that's not probably the first thing congressman thinks, you know, about their fellow congressman. But this this non-Christian congressman actually to antagonize his fellow Christians. He antagonized the Christians that he knew in Congress. He asserted he was a Muslim. He probably really wasn't, but he made some assertions in that regard. So you may have heard a couple of years ago that a Muslim was elected to Congress. It was a guy. He's still in Congress. He was elected from, I think, Michigan, and he had converted to Islam when in college. So he wasn't born and raised a Muslim. But anyway, Francis Scott Key was a friend of these Christian congressmen, and they went to him and said, "You're so good with the Bible. Could you talk to this guy and help him to become a Christian?" And it took a couple of years, but indeed, Francis Scott Key led him to the Lord.
Got to change national anthems.
That's right. Oh, say, can you see? That's right.
Yeah, he's the one who put and here is our motto, "In God is our trust." That's the fourth verse of the Star-Spangled Banner. But up in Keysville, he, you know, in his time period, he inherited slaves, and he just wrestled with that as a Christian. How can I get... He didn't like that. And so he had a plan he worked through where he got every slave that was under him some kind of trade, skill, training, and once they were ready, then he would release them. So it was like he trained and released. And he went around to his neighbors, this is up in Keysville, and said, if any of those southern slave traders come up here to Frederick, don't sell them any of your slaves. They'll take them back and it'll be bad. Instead, sell them to me. Because then he had his plan. And in Keysville, you're right to the center corner in Keysville, there's a church. And Francis Scott Key gave the land for it because he wanted to see that there was a church in his town. But he eventually, I said, went to Georgetown. And it was really the amazing providence of God that he was on a British ship in the middle of the British naval invasion, watching the bombardment of Fort McHenry, which took like 25 hours from sunrise to the following sunrise. And when they had stopped bombarding, you know, through the night, you know, he was wondering, he and his two friends that were there with him, Americans, he was wondering, you know, what had happened, what had happened. That's why, you know, he wrote on that paper, "Oh, say, can you see?" Because he really wanted to know. So you go here to his crypt. He was buried in Baltimore, then reburied in Frederick. And there's a statue over there, and it's him standing there with his arm, you know, stretched out, pointing to the flag. But it was the amazing providence of God that he was in that location to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you made reference to the fourth verse, you never hear the fourth verse.
Yeah.
You never hear the second or third verse. Yeah, in fact, you know, watching the Olympics this past summer, you don't even hear the first verse anymore. You know, it used to be, when the anthem was playing, you'd see people mouthing the words. You almost never see that anymore. There were a couple of the athletes I noticed that, that did do that. But does anybody even know the national anthem lyrics anymore?
Well, I do, but, you know, I mean, they're saying each next generation has fewer words. Would you say 15,000?
Yeah, the average American teenager has a working vocabulary of 15,000 words, which is about a third of what it was, you know, a generation or two ago.
Troy, do we have time for one more local Christian testimony from a local well-known person?
Can you do it in 45 seconds?
Yes, I can. Okay. General Lew Wallace, who is the famous general here at the Battle of Monocacy. You go any tour there, they'll say, and after the war, he was a famous writer, and he wrote Ben-Hur. Why did he write Ben-Hur is the question you should always ask.
Yeah.
Well, about 20 years after the war, a number of years after the war, he was on a train, and he met a famous atheist of his day who, for 2 hours, chided him up and down about being kind of a nominal Christian. Well, he wasn't really a Christian, but why consider Christianity? So he committed to, I'm going to set out to disprove Christianity, said Lew Wallace. And in the process, he became a Christian and wanted to write a book about illustrating reconciliation and forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. So the title of the book is Ben-Hur, A Tale of Christ.
Wow.
Lew Wallace.
It's interesting. That's a similar kind of biography as Lee Strobel, who wrote...
C.S. Lewis.
Josh McDowell.
But Lee Strobel set out to disprove Christianity because he was mortified that his wife became a Christian. He wanted to prove her wrong, and he ended up becoming a Christian and wrote The Case for Creator, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, and is one of the great modern-day apologists for the Christian cause. It's really a fascinating story. Anyway,
we gave away cases of his books on campus.
Thank you for your unbelievable stories and knowledge. I appreciate it so much. Bernie Beal, founder of Great Commissions, Commission Families. Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner. Thanks to our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Check us out online, WFMD.com. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. God bless.